Accession number 17675, Sergeant Frederick White, Reel 9.
Sergeant White, Reel 9. You were saying that you arrived in Ismailia in Egypt.
Yes, and there was a large hutted camp there with the Royal Engineers in it. And we was given two of these huts, quite large, and I had to report then to a welfare officer. Now, apparently we was going to come under welfare in Egypt. They was going to run the affairs. And first thing I asked him, I said, what about these wretched rifles we keep on carrying around? Hand them into the engineer's armoury, which we did do.
So you got rid of your weapons?
And we never saw them again. So it was handed over officially, and that was it. I mean, it was just a nuisance to us, really. I mean, it's obvious we're going to be in a band from then onwards, not other duties. So this major there, I said, have you had any leave? I said, what's that? He said, no leave at all. I said, no, he said, oh, he said, let the band have 7 days leave. I know you had a rough time in Iraq. I said, but you've got to go to Cairo and meet somebody in the headquarters there.
That would be headquarters, British Troops Egypt, presumably.
Yes. So I still had this blasted malaria. And I went there with one of the corporals with me, I said somebody with me. And anyway, all it was, go there for pep talk. You got an important duty to perform as a band and all this type of thing for the good of the troops and all that. And you'll be worked hard, but you will be appreciated. That type of thing. So anyway, we came back and this world officer, unfortunately I can't remember his name, but it was, he was very good. We're all getting a bit tattered and torn. Uniforms and that type of thing.
I was going to ask when you last had an issue of new.
Yeah, well, this uniform. What came about. I mean, we hadn't had anything new from since we left India.
So you'd had a year or so in Iraq.
Yes.
And nothing exchanged at all.
So, anyway, we got new uniforms. And in actual fact, he even managed some lightweight boots for us. Which we didn't say no to. And we then had green side caps issued to us, which instead of, we never wore topies again. And then they said, one of your officers is going to inspect you in a few days' time. Now you're all kitted out. So Colonel Lewin Harris. Now, he was with an officer's school in Palestine, with a Falkhorn, and he was the commandant there, from there. And he came down, inspectors, he says, he wanted to reform the 1st Battalion DCLI, out the remnants that did get back, I think it was over 100. He said, including you, and he looked at me, he said, you would have been a sergeant major straight away. He said, but they turned him down. And he said he was willing to come back to Lieutenant Colonel for it. But it didn't come off.
Had you known this officer before?
I had met him before, yes.
Well, in India?
In India, yes. Yeah. So, anyway, this, we did a few concerts around the local area there, and then this.
Around Ismailia?
In Ismailia area, of course. Further down the canal from there onwards, a terrific training ground.
Yes.
Going on, training troops there. But he sent for me, this major, and he said, you're going to leave us, you're going back over some old country. Well, I said, well, not to Iraq. He said, no, not as far as that. He said, you're going on a big tour from Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Palestine, Jordan. And this took several weeks. And the first day we started, we went down the canal zone, still on that side where the troops were there, and we moved down there on a Sunday on a Saturday evening. And the first thing Sunday morning, had a church service, what they call drumhead service. Incidentally, we did a few drumhead church services in Iraq with the regiment.
What, going around the camps and so on?
Yes. And we did a church service then. We then played a concert immediately afterwards, the troops there. In the afternoon, around the near area, we played a concert late afternoon, and that evening we did another concert. So I think it was a 4 days' work.
That's how many concerts in one day?
Four.
Four?
Yeah, three concerts and a church service.
And a service.
Yeah. But anyway, we eventually then moved by transport through the Sinai Desert again. Partly through Palestine into Syria.
What did you make of Syria?
I didn't like it at all.
Why was that?
Oh, I don't know. They weren't very friendly either.
They weren't?
No. In fact, in Damascus, when we got there, just before, and there'd been riots there.
Were there any signs, visible signs of rioting?
No, but some individual, he must have been British, had a bright idea, as the band was there, that we should march around the town. No escort or anything like that. Well, the Arabs must have thought we was just as mad as well, because they didn't do anything. We marched around that town and nothing happened, but they all stared at us and wondered what was going on.
Did you get any signs of appreciation from them?
Not really, no. Although once out in the desert some part there, it's a sort of a village place. And while we had to play there, I don't know, there was a top Arab there. He seemed to appreciate us. All we got there was a few cups of their thick coffee, what they have. But I'm certain they didn't appreciate our type of music, though, just the same. So why we were sent there, I don't know. Some goodwill thing.
I mean, did you see anything of the French when you were in Syria? Because it had been a French territory.
Yes, we did do in the end. What was it? A place called Palmyra.
Yes,
right up in north of Syria, isn't it? And there's an old ruined city there. I always remember leaving Damascus, and we saw a range of hills right in the distance. And as we come up over these hills, we could look straight down on this ruined city there, which was a thriving place, what was it, 1,500 years ago?
It's a Roman settlement.
Yes. And by the side of there was a barracks with a few of the French troops still in it. Mind there had been fighting with the French, hadn't there? But didn't last all that long. There was no trouble there. So we played in several places in Syria like that. Then round to Lebanon and came down to Tripoli
in Lebanon.
Mm. And then we had to go back to Damascus again. We had to go to Beirut. Mm. And we got held up several times because we had to go over the mountains there, and it was snowbound.
You're going up through the Shouf Mountains, and then yes. How did you get on with the Lebanese?
Not much contact with them at all. It was only the few British troops around what we had any contact with.
Yes.
With the civilian population, not.
So they were staying away from you? And
yes.
Your audiences were British?
We were always with the British all the time, yes.
And what about Palestine? What was the situation there?
Well, Palestine, entirely different. They were, although they did turn anti-British, but when we were there, we we got on very well with them. When we was in a civilised place and we wanted to go somewhere and we wanted to go by bus, you know, our time off, and there's usually a queue, they insisted that we went to the front of the queue. Things like that.
What sort of places did you go to then when you were...
Well, mostly sightseeing.
Yes.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Went into Jerusalem and those places like that. Mm. Back into Tel Aviv. But one of the places we're in, an Israeli men had been volunteering for the British forces.
Yes.
They had been making them. And they tried to form a band. And they had a sergeant in charge of it. And I met him, quite a nice chap. Spoke good English and that. But his band was awful.
What was wrong with it?
Well, they didn't know how to march. They couldn't play their instruments all that well and all that. And...
Were you
in? Actually, in fact, this was the second time we came into Palestine, and the bandmaster was with us, and he approached the bandmaster, or through these officers there, wanted me attached to him for a month. Oh, they wouldn't agree to that, but they said you can have him for a week.
Were you able to do much good in a week?
Yes, because I could teach them a little bit of band drill, counter-marching, that type of thing, and... They used to play their instruments a little bit better. I even taught them how to play God Bless the King, as it was in those days, national anthem.
What were these people like in the band? Were they English speakers or...?
Very little English. Most of them had some smattering of it.
What did they speak then?
Hebrew, then, I'll take it to be. They were all Jews. But some of them spoke English, and the sergeant in charge, he spoke very good English. I think they appreciated my week with them anyway.
You brought about some improvement.
Yes.
What about
there were some British troops watching me doing them drill, and then at the end of the week they said they're coming on all right now.
What about Jordan? Where did you go in Jordan?
Oh, very little in Jordan. We was on the airfield just outside of Amman.
Yes. What was there at that time? What facilities were there on the airfield at Amman?
Very primitive. But we was only there a couple of days, really. Mm. And we came back to Egypt again then. Mm.
You're saying that before you set off on this grand tour around the Levant, the band had a week's leave.
Yes. Yeah.
What did they do with it? Where did they go? What did they do?
Most of them went to Tel Aviv or Jerusalem.
So they went out of Egypt?
Yes.
On their leave.
It's only myself and this other corporal with me. We went to Cairo.
Mm. What was there to do in Cairo? What leave, what recreation was there?
Not very much, because every other day I had malaria.
Yes.
I went to one or two, because they're well known for their museums there. But I was pleased to get back again.
To the battalion?
No, to Ishmaelia.
To Ishmaelia. Yeah.
Mm. Get the band together again.
Mm. What was Ishmaelia like as a place?
Well, they had a cinema there and a canteen place there. There wasn't much facilities there. Used to go swimming in the canal when the ship wasn't passing.
How did you get on with the Egyptians?
Had very little to do with them. They were anti-British.
How did they show that?
Well, with us, not at all yet, but I mean, there was also sullen with you. They wouldn't smile or anything like that. Didn't get much on them at all. They would have welcomed the Germans any day.
So you're based in Egypt, and was Ishmaelia your sort of permanent base while you were going off?
Yes, yes, we kept these two...
Two huts.
There. And We then, after that, we went to Alexandria.
Yes.
And played around that area. And this is when Rommel had already made his push, or he wasn't very far from Ismailia, from Alexandria then. And I made I was still doing acting bandmaster, and I made inquiries about a South African regiment what we was affiliated to, which was the Rand Light Infantry. I made inquiries, yes, they were in North Africa, and they'd just come out the line in a rest area. So I made arrangements, could we pay them a visit? Could we pay to them? So off we went out in the desert, met them there, they're at this orderly tents and that. Made us most welcome. And I have to tell you this bit, we met somebody who we knew. Now, back in India, we had a saxophone player, and his name was Cape. And in Dinah Point was, he bought his discharge because his family moved from England, who lived in Norfolk. They emigrated to South Africa. They wanted him to join him there, so he bought his discharge and went to South Africa. Of course, when war was declared, he was in the Rand Light Infantry, and there was Corporal Cape to welcome us. They wouldn't let us play to him.
Why not?
Well, the RSM said, well, we've heard all about you coming from Corporal Cape. He said, well, you've got a good football team and hockey team. Yes, that's correct. He said, well, that's what we're going to do. So we played football and hockey, and we won both times. But and then they had a... when they get into a rest area, they always dig themselves into the sand quite deep and then put the tent over the top, and it gets reasonably cool then. And that was the mess tent.
Where was this rest area? Was it sort of west, east of the canal, west of the canal zone, or?
Oh, it's just it's only a few miles back from Alamein.
Yes,
that's where it
so
was.
So you'd had to go out into the western desert
yes,
to find them.
Yes.
How did you find your way there? Did you have a guide or a route card or something of that sort?
No, the transport people who took us out there, they knew where it was.
So you didn't have your own transport?
No, we always had to have...
Your service corps?
Yes. And I always remember one of these service corps, not that particular journey, but when we say making tea making, it was nothing, they pour some petrol and a dip of sand and lit it, and you put your Dixie over there. Mm-hmm. But this one particular driver, he put the wind up me. They did get jerry cans in those days, probably captive ones and that, and he had this jerry can full of a petrol, and I noticed two-thirds of the way down, got a matchstick stuck in the side of it. So I said, all right, blow up, takes the matchstick out, puts a match to it, and out came the big flame of there, slipping this jerry can. I stepped back, I said, don't get it near the lorry. I said, you'll set it in the light. He said, no, he said, I'm always doing this.
Sounds like and a then, very...
And when he wanted to put it, he just put it on its side and put a handful of sand over the rust and put the matchstick in quick.
And that worked?
Yes, it worked. I didn't like it at all.
How long did you stay with the Rand Light Infantry?
Oh, it was within 3 days altogether.
So, had they been in action?
Yes, and in fact this Corporal Cape had been wounded. Mm. Yes, they did. That's, their rest areas were after coming out of the...
Had you know, was he happy with the Rand Light Infantry? Was he well adapted to them?
Oh yes, yes. Because he'd been out there several years then, so that's 36 for 6 years.
Were these chaps in the Rand Light Infantry English speakers, or were they a mixture of English and Afrikaans?
They seemed to be mostly English. I don't know what it was, whether they did do, or, you know, or South Africans or what. Or English descent rather than Afrikaans. Mm. But the men is very welcome there. I'd give a speech.
What about the...
Well, you know, about the first time that anything from the diesel line meeting up with the van light infantry.
Did you make other expeditions into the Western Desert?
No, that was the only time. So we then went back to Ismailia, and then the bandmaster again rejoined us. And of course El Alamein started then, and the Germans got pushed back.
And the 8th Army followed them on?
Not by land. After they got past Tripoli.
That's Tripoli in Libya.
In Libya, we was detailed that we was going to catch the 8th Army up. And we was put aboard a ship with a convoy, about 8 ships, I think it was, altogether. And off we went. Didn't see no escort at all. But I think it was on the second day, late evening, I remember being up on deck just wasting time away. And of course we're going into the west and the sun was coming down, and out of that sunlight there, a bloody German plane came right down low, went just a few feet above the water, right through the convoy and away.
Did it shoot the convoy up?
Didn't do anything.
Did anyone at the convoy shoot at the plane?
Didn't have time.
It was too quick, was it?
Too quick. But the crew said, that's trouble. He said, I'll give it 20 minutes. But he'd already been... We was quite near Crete then. That's why it was. I suppose radio contact. And we was all ordered down below straight away.
Did anything happen?
Oh, yes, it did happen. The only one of the band who stayed on deck was a chap named Addison, who was a cornet player, and he'd been nominated as the ship's bugler. And he was on the bridge with the captain when it all happened. And then we was right the way down the bottom of the ship. And all we could hear then, in that 20 minutes, the bombers came over. And we could hear these bombs dropping. And when you're down the bottom of the ship, the vibration there... Terrific.
Goes through the whole ship.
If we got hit, we wouldn't have stood a chance. Never got out of it.
What sort of ship was it that you were on?
It wasn't a troop ship. I forget the name of it, but it must have been a cargo ship.
It wasn't a warship of any sort?
No, it wasn't a warship. But they was all had anti-aircraft guns on them, which the army manned. And the captain said afterwards that the gunners we was on the lead ship, by the way, convoy leader, he said the barrage what they put up kept the bombers off, but they sunk 2 ships, so
2 out of the 8. Have you any idea? Did anyone tell you how many bombers there had been overhead?
I think it was a dozen bombers. About a dozen came over.
Were they at high altitude or? Medium or
no? About medium.
Were any of them?
They could see them. This chap had his ears seen quite plainly.
Were any of the bombers shot down?
No. But the barrage, kept them off our ship. Yeah. But none of them were shot down.
Yeah. Your ship had no damage?
No. But there was an old tanker went up, and another ship that had some Israeli soldiers on it, that went down.
Were there any survivors?
No. Nope.
You weren't able to pick them up?
No. It got dark then. Because it gets dark very quickly in the Mediterranean once the sun goes down,
doesn't
it? Well, we then made our way into Tripoli. That was a mess anyway, that dockyard's trying to get into it.
Why was that?
Well, we've been bombing it to hell before, now we wanted to use it. Sunken ships in there.
So you went into Tripoli. What happened after you landed in Tripoli?
Well, we landed in Tripoli. They managed to get some transport for us, and we just went out into the desert. where there was a very large camp. And there we were. And it doesn't matter what rank it was, but it came feeding time. Oh, sorry. There was a communal cookhouse put up, and everybody lined up. The queue was about a mile long. The cookhouse, I don't think, ever closed. And once you got your food, you then had to fight the flies off. There was millions of them.
Doesn't sound very sanitary.
You're waving your hand all the time to keep the flies off, otherwise you take a mouthful. Awful it was. Well, I was there several days, and somebody must have taken pity on us. So we got moved then into the docks itself, where there was a docks company. Incidentally, we're all Cockneys from the London docks. And Lisbon was in a building. The only thing is, the Germans started doing what we did. They wanted to bomb it. And the number of anti-aircraft guns around that dock area was surprising. Because when the barrage went up, terrific.
What about air raid precautions for you? What were you supposed to do when the enemy bombers came over?
We just stayed in the building. No, there was no shelters or anything like that.
Did it have a cellar you could get into or anything like that? Did it have a cellar you could take cover in?
No, yeah. we just stayed in the building. But I don't... although there were some bombs dropped, they didn't really do any damage because the barrage that went up there, I don't know, God knows how many guns they had. They had loads and loads of them, especially for it, I suppose. They kept the bombers away. I think it was more damage than shrapnel coming down from the bombers.
What were you supposed to be doing then?
Well, but then once again, we was then no fighting going on in Tripoli there. And in fact, Montgomery used to travel around in his car, saw him several times, and giving cigarettes out sometimes, what he used to do. There was a bandstand there with no shelter on it, built up in tiers, all concrete. And that time of the year, with the hot sun coming down, we used to play on that.
Who was your audience?
Hmm?
Who provided your audience? Who were you playing for?
The troops there, mostly.
The troops based in Tripoli?
Yes. With the reed instruments, between pieces, you had to take it out, otherwise it would dry so much, you couldn't start playing again. And the brass players had to keep their mouthpieces in the shade as much as possible. It was so hot, it blistered their lips. I played on that bandstand several times. It was murder.
Who were you playing? Who were you for at that stage? Were you part of Eighth Army, or were
yes,
we
was part of Eighth Army. In fact, they gave us the Eighth Army medal afterwards.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. With the Eighth Army clasp, you know, yes. They had an eighth on it.
So you had the Africa Star with the Eighth Army.
Yes.
Yes.
Then we played up and down that coast at all, but the prime reason wasn't given to us, not to the last moment. King George VI was coming out. Oh. And lo and behold, in Montgomery's headquarters with his caravan there, the king came out there, and of course we was playing.
Is this, what sort of playing? Was this for a parade or for a
no,
concert?
No, first of all, it was just we were playing background music while he was there. Something laid on for the eye officers that was all there, also besides Monty being there. And then, I think it was, yeah, the very next day, they had a victory march pass then through Tripoli.
Yeah.
All the troops, our regiments, crossing by. And we had to sort out all the regimental marches and play to it.
Were you familiar with most of them?
Oh, yes, yes.
So you were standing to one side of the route, and
that's
the parade
right.
was going past
oh,
you.
I was going past, and we had so many cars that we just dropped them on the ground and put the next one in.
How could you tell one regiment from another?
Well, we had the order given to us.
All right,
who they would be.
So you're able to keep up with the...
Yes, yeah. I think there were... There used to be a... They did produce a newspaper called the Tripoli Times, I think it was called.
Yes.
And there was a write-up about it, but unfortunately I never got a copy or kept it. I wonder if that's still in existence somewhere.
Probably copies somewhere.
Somewhere or the other.
Yeah. Did you see anything of First Army while you were...
No, not the First Army, no. The